And today, the first ever guest on the Moorcast, and it's the Woodlander. So how are you doing, sir?
Very well. How are you?
I'm fine. It's funny because I saw you pop up under one of my Odyssey videos, and I clicked on your profile and saw that you had a channel, and I thought, well, I love this. The sort of outdoors, getting away from modern life and all of this. I thought that this is right up my alley. So I thought it would be good to have a chat about. You can tell this is for the Moorcast because I've got something in my throat. I'm not going to cut it or anything. We'll just run with it, warts and all. So I thought it would be good to have a chat because I was watching your video before. I mean, we were just saying before we went live that I was surprised at just how much you've got. So tell us the story. What happened? And you've gone off grid, and it's kind of the. What I think's interesting about it is that it does tie in about the overbearing technology, which is a hot topic at the moment. And so it's like it's going off grid or distancing yourself from it's become like a really relevant thing.
And becoming more and more popular every day. For me, I kind of went off grid slightly differently to begin with. So I shut down all my bank accounts, started to use only cash, and looked at a way that I could withdraw from the whole system. It was absolutely driving me insane. The more I looked into it, the more I despised it. And the only way I could see was to literally do everything myself and use it as little as possible. So I sat down with the wife and we talked about what we wanted. And we wanted our own place in a nice bit of land. We wanted to keep animals. And when you look at the prices of property around, I was looking at places and they were like £1 million, £1.5 million. It was completely outside of what I was capable of doing. So I thought the only way I can do this is to do it myself. So I looked at ways if it was possible. And there's obstructions every single way you look. But it is possible. You can do it. And it is legal. There's, you'll have to excuse the dogs in the background, I'm afraid. So I bought some land. I bought 2.5 acres. We turned about 0.5 acre over to poultry. So we got turkeys, ducks, chickens. We're probably going to have a couple of goats up there. 0.5 acre for the cabin and sort of garden area. And we kept 1 acre as wild woodland. And it's worked out really well.
I didn't even know that you could just go to the woods and buy the land. It must have cost a fortune. I don't want you to get into anything like detailed personal stuff that you're not comfortable with or anything, but I just imagine buying like a big couple of acres of land in the woodland must have been a fortune, isn't it? And planning permission and all of that.
It's going up. Well, I didn't get planning permission. When I first looked into it, I was looking at sort of fields and agricultural land, and you can pick them up relatively cheap. You're looking at about £10,000 an acre and slightly cheaper in different places. But you won't get planning to build a house. So the more I looked into it, I thought, well, has it been done and how can you do it? And there's an old English law called the 4-year rule, which it's fairly simple. And it states that if you build a home and you live in it for 4 years, and no one's asked you to take it down, and when I say no one, I do mean the council, so no one's complained about it, after 4 years, that then becomes legal. Yeah, that then becomes a residential property. So I was looking for land where nobody could see into it, and woodland was ideal, because I could stand in the middle of this plot that I bought, and I couldn't see my boundary in any direction because of the trees and because of the natural foliage. So I figured if I can't see out, then no one can see in. And if no one can see in, it makes no difference what I do here. And that's exactly what I did. But I quite like that English rule because it's based on common sense, which is if you've done something and no one's got a problem with it, then that's fine. You can keep it.
And do you get any hassle off a forestry commission or anything like that?
Remarkably, no. I mean, about halfway through the build, which was over 5 years ago now, I was halfway up a ladder, nailing the cladding to the outside of the cabin, and two gentlemen in suits walked up through the woods with a clipboard, and I thought, here we go, this is going to be interesting. And as it transpired, they were from the Forestry Commission, and they were doing a survey of all the woodland in the local area, looking for ash dieback. And we got chatting, and they had a look round my plot, and I said, look, have you got a problem with what I'm doing here? And they said, no, not at all. From our perspective, we would much rather that people owned the woodland and were looking after it and maintaining it than it was left to run completely wild and overgrown. So we have a lot of problem with it. So, yeah, it was a good.
Yeah. I mean, another one of what I picked up in one of your videos was this idea. I've got a mate of mine, and we've like sat in the pub, you know, when it used to be allowed, and we've talked about this kind of thing, and it's like he was going as if like he had to be completely independent straight away. And I was watching one of your videos, and you were saying like it isn't where you can purity spiral. If you nip back to Morrison's to pick up a bottle of wine, it's not the end of the world. Or maybe you are in some way connected to the system, but it's more about having peace of mind. It's more, you know what I mean? It's that, I thought that was an interesting point that you made.
Well, I mean, I'm about as off-grid as you can get, both personally and my lifestyle. And I started last year growing food, which was brilliant. And I think the video you're on about, I actually said in it, I started to grow sweet corn, which And then the dogs went out there and just ate all the sweet corn. But that's not the end of the world for me, because I could literally get in the car, drive down to Morrison's, and buy some sweet corn. I can't see any reason to live like a caveman. I don't need to do that. Yeah. What I have done is withdraw as much as I want to, and I can still take from that system what I want to take, but I can also leave behind the bits I want to leave behind. And I think there's a balance there for each and every one of us. Some people might want to dip in more, and others might want to withdraw more. But I can't see any reason why you can't use both.
It is because people will say, well, I can imagine like some dick like saying, oh well, so you went and got sweet corn from Morrison's, like so much for that, and that's not the point. The point is to try and get your, it's like a process. Of removing yourself from the system to give you some kind of peace of mind, so that you're not, it isn't in your face all of the time. And yeah, you may be in some ways connected to it, but it's like you've got agency, you're in charge, rather than being dictated to by the system.
Exactly that. And I think the way I put it into one of the videos was, I said it's a very honest way of living out here. I mean, I've got central heating, but I've also got a massive log burner. So if I want heat, I need to chop down a tree, and then I need to split the wood. And then I have to wait a year before I can burn that wood. So I have to season it. And then I can light that, and I get heat. And that, to me, I understand that. And I mean, I know most people were just quite used to going home, pressing a button, and the heating comes on, and they say, you know, but you've got to do all this work in order to get heat. And my argument would be, well, you've got to go out and work 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
To get that heat.
Yeah. So, so that you can, like, sit in front of the television watching the hours tick down till you go to bed to get up the next day to go to work again.
Yeah, just so you can turn your heating on and have 2 weeks in Marbella as a cope.
Yeah, the idea is, yeah. Hey, that's like the carrot that's dangled in front of you. It really is like that. So what do you do for water then? Is that just rainwater, which is busy?
Yeah, we looked at doing a borehole, and I had a survey done, and it is a possibility because there's actually a few other people doing the same thing as me in this area. So we might do that. But in the meantime, I can collect probably 1,000 litres in a good downpour. So I've got 3,000 litres stored off of the roof, which runs through a pumping system and through a filter system of 5 stages, and it's filtered and pumped straight into the house. Wasn't that difficult to do. I mean, I watched a couple of YouTube videos, figured it out myself, a couple of IBC containers, linked them up, and yeah, so my water's free. My electricity, now I've paid for the solar, is free. And people say, when, you know, they have preconceived ideas. When you say you live in a cabin in the woods, it could be fairly basic, and that wouldn't bother me. I mean, when I first moved in here, I didn't have running water, and I didn't have electricity. So it was difficult, but actually quite enjoyable for a while. It changed rapidly because I've got a wife and they want things like hair dryers and a washing machine and heat and running water. So I had to sort all that stuff out. So I've now got pretty much everything that you would have in your house, but I don't pay for it. Mm. So I have heating, I have water, and by reducing my outgoings, it means I have to interact with that system a lot less, mm-hmm. which was the whole idea in the first place.
Mm-hmm. So the first major step is obviously getting the land, getting the plot. Because in theory, you wouldn't have to be in the woods. You could just be in somewhere that was quite quiet. And you know, even if there was a road down the not far away, you're still kind of independent, you know?
Completely, completely. I spent a year, me and a wife, just driving all around the country. We were into Wales. We were right down at the bottom in Devon, and just looking for the right piece of land. And I mean, that was an enjoyable year, just driving around the country. We saw some amazing places. But as it happened, the plot came up literally sort of 5-10 miles away from where we lived. And, so it was perfect. It was a perfect location, and it was, you know, I had a bit of saving to do to buy it. But once we bought the land, that was it. I just cracked on.
And have we got a television or anything like that, or just your phone?
I didn't have a television for about 3 years up here. But there is a small one in there now, so the missus can. But she said I'd want to take TV just so I can watch a film every now and then. But I think we've actually turned it on about 3 or 4 times in the last 12 months.
it's really not worth the hassle. I mean, just before we got into this call, I was out walking the dog and I had to rush back because we agreed at a time. And I was looking at I came across a little stream, and it had like a, you know, those propaganda posters for social distancing and COVID and everything. And there was one that I took a photo of it. I think I'll stick it on Telegram later. And, there was one which had just been dumped into the stream. Now, I don't like the littering aspect of that because it ruins the look. But there's a kind of deeper symbolism there where, you know, on the one hand, you've got like the most extreme social controls, and it's linked to technology. And then you can see it kind of just dumped into a scenic forest stream. And I looked at it and I was thinking, this is like the perfect symbolism for the conversation that I'm about to have with you when I get back home. It's like a little sign of where of things to come.
Oh, I'll tell you what.